So let me throw something else out there.
You're listening to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax, HIPAA help is on the way.
Welcome to the Help Me With HIPAA podcast. My name is David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs, and joining me is Donna Grindle of Cardin Compliance. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, David.
You dug yourself out from under all the cold yet?
You know, we're not geared for cold. We don't do cold. I'm a very good Southerner on purpose.
Yeah, it's bad whenever the people near the beach on the East Coast are getting snow.
I know, and we're not. So, bless their little hearts. It's been pitiful for them. I saw a thing that in, I think it was like Palm Beach or something, that the iguanas, it had gotten so cold that the iguanas froze and fell out of the trees.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. That's ridiculous. I mean, those lizards move so slow anyway, and then they just freeze up and topple over. But my friend who his house in Key West, it didn't get that cold there, but now he's going to try to figure out how to freeze them. I'm sure he hates those things.
Another reason to walk around with an umbrella.
Oh, God. Okay. All right. Moving along.
So today is going to be interesting. We're going to dive into the craziness that's going on about Meltdown and Spectre. And this is going to be a little different in that all this information is like coming out almost as we speak. And so we're kind of going to be having an impromptu conversation about what's going on. And so the you, Mr. and Mrs. Listener, will get an opportunity to kind of give the hot off the press version of what's going on. So, by the time you listen, it'll be probably a week out, but we are literally getting some of this information this morning.
Last night, this morning, we've been reading stuff. We decided instead of recording what we were going to record, or that topic's going to wait so we could get this one done and get it out because it needs to be timely.
Yeah, it does. And OCR is even paying attention to it, which means we have to pay attention to it.
So. Yeah.
But where in the world will you be, Carmen San Diego?
Well, first we're gonna start a new thing, I've decided. Today's episode is brought to you by Cardin Compliance and HIPAA for MSPs.
Awesome.
Cardin Compliance is your... We need to make something up there.
Cardin Compliance is
your compliance partner, your privacy and security, your privacy and security management team. HIPAA for MSPs is David's kingdom. There you go.
If you're a managed service provider or IT professional and you want to know how to do HIPAA properly, check us out, HIPAAforMSPs.com.
Boom. CardinHQ.com.
Yeah.
So then where will I be? February 16th is the Georgia, South Carolina, boy, that's starting to move up quick, isn't it? Association of Surgical Centers joint semi-annual conference and trade show here in Atlanta. Looking forward to doing that one. February 22nd, I'm going to be doing it's still finalizing, but I do know that I'll be one of three speakers at an event in Sandy Springs where OCR is going to be speaking, and there's going to be a discussion about blockchain and healthcare and what we can do with it. And then there's me talking about insiders and the threat that you have to worry about. And then April is the JAWS Society Annual Conference. And the next thing that we have to commit to, and we've been bouncing around here, is some boot camp dates because we need to do another boot camp. We've got some folks that we're starting to get people interested. So if you are interested in a boot camp here in Atlanta and you'd like to make sure that it's dates you can work with, send us an email at contact@helpmewithhipaa.com.
Yeah, let's wait till it warms up.
I know, really? Yeah.
Yep. So definitely need to get that on the books. I have had people tell me, though, they're like, I don't really want to have a boot camp in my area. I want to travel somewhere.
Yeah. Yeah. So those of you who want to travel to Atlanta, and I would not recommend doing it this weekend with the national championship. Go Dogs. That's all I got to say.
I know.
Sick 'em. I can't do the whole kickoff thing.
Falcons are doing well, too.
I don't know about that. I think they backed their way in. But, you know, they're my team. I'll stick with them, but I'm not as... Georgia's got the. They said they estimate an extra 100,000 people in downtown Atlanta this weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a big jump. So, yeah, I'm not going down there. But let us know if you want to come to the ATL. You can go to the College Football Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Right down the street from where they're having the national championship game at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. TikTok.
Which game show do they do down there? Is it like Family Feud or something like that?
Probably. I don't know. There's so much. they shoot movies and TV shows here now all the time. So you drive by and all of a sudden you can't go down that street and all these lights are on at night. You're like, oh, they shot a movie in our neighborhood just on the across the main rag in a neighborhood over there. And you would see at night, it would be so lit up because they'd make it look like daytime.
Yeah, we have that here too, but it's usually a different kind of shooting they're doing.
I told Bubba not to get on my property now again.
All right, cool deal. So as we move on.
Yes.
So we talked about the boot camp. If you want to know more about what the boot camp is all about, you can go to helpmewithhippa.com/bootcamp. Learn more about that. Also, for all you people who are jumping on the Patreon and helping to support the podcast, thank you so very much. Yes. You can do that at helpmewithhippa.com/give, and you can give as little as like a couple bucks a month. So definitely worthwhile calls. It helps to keep Donna happy. Keep the lights on.
Keep lights on.
For those of you who have not yet downloaded our app, you can check that out at either App Store or Google Play Store. Also, there's a PDF of every show with show notes and all that, so you can put it in your HIPAA training documentation.
Yeah, some nice stuff. So we have the Apple and Android versions so that everybody here is happy.
Yep. Also, don't forget to review us or like us on Facebook or the mobile app. Anywhere else that you can find to like us or review us, do that. Please do that. It's honestly, I mean, we ask for that a lot, but it is how people find us. There's been a lot of people says, oh, you know, I found you the other day. I saw some kind of review on something or whatever, and that's how I've stumbled across you. So it does help to get the word out to help other people.
So, well, yeah, and it helps our viewership and our search ranking, and it helps us in so many ways. We don't ask for much, people. Download the app and rate us there or something.
All right. So let's dive into this thing called Meltdown and Spectre vulnerabilities.
Yeah. It's sad when you've got a vulnerability and they get their own picture. They made their own little icon. But yes, there's a lot of nerdy discussion about this. And it is one of those vulnerabilities that's so deep, deep, deep in the workings and the guts of these computer systems that David and I are even like, oh, I'm not even going to try to understand that one. but the bottom line is pretty much any computer, if it has a chip in it, it doesn't even have to be what we consider computers. If it has a chip in it and it was made since, say, I don't know, 95, is one of them, and the other one I think goes back to the early 2006, I think. But either way, it has this problem in it, and that's why everybody's freaking out. But basically, what the problems mean is that one program that's running and normally can't see what another program is doing, they're kind of like little silos on their own. Well, there's this vulnerability that's been found that allows them, one program, say, I don't know, malware you downloaded when you clicked, that is allowed to see what other programs are doing using this particular vulnerability. And there's a lot of debate about how you would actually have to initiate it. But some people believe that you could do it just in a browser. You go to a bad website, and then every other program that's running on your computer, that website could launch a program that would allow it to see all of the data that those programs are working with. So it's pretty nasty in that respect.
Yeah, it has a lot of potential to do a lot of harm. Having said that, I don't think there's anything reported yet that somebody's taking advantage of it, but it could. The other thing about it is it's so hard to detect, if not impossible to detect, that I don't know how long it would even take for people to know that it actually has happened.
Yeah, I was about to say, how do we know that we don't know that they're, how would we know that it hasn't been used?
Yeah, I honestly don't have an answer to that other than to say it would be probably not able to detect at this time because it doesn't create any kind of traces. It doesn't log things. You know how, you know, when we talk about things happening in Windows or Mac or whatever, there's log files that happen, event files that happen for everything that goes on. But this is happening at such a low level in the system that it's not being logged.
Yeah. So that brings us to the, what are you going to do about it?
I'm going to call the IT guy.
Well, I know when I first read it and the very first one article I was reading about this and all of the updates, and I just forwarded it to David and said, next week's going to be hell for you, you know, because it's one of those times where I get to appreciate I'm not an MSP anymore.
Yeah. I mean, we're still trying to develop a response to it, not just from a technical standpoint, but just talking to clients about it because it's changed, you know, half a dozen times in the past 3 days that I don't want to be sending out an email every single day about, oh, now this has changed and oh, now this has changed. So we're trying to.
It's important to understand that something needs to happen, but you need somebody that can understand and monitor this properly to manage that for you.
Yeah. Well, this is definitely a case where you can prove or at least show a good argument for the fact that having an IT company that is doing things proactively is necessary. Mm-hmm. Because this is not something that's going to be easily fixed. And even the fix can cause problems, as we'll learn in a minute.
Yeah. Yeah, it's something that you absolutely need to fix because if they're not using it now, they will be using it. They will figure out a way, particularly if the website thing is capable, that there's some JavaScript that will let you do this.
Right. So one question people are going to have is, well, you know, I've got an antivirus and stuff like that. I mean, won't that detect it or block it or whatever?
No, this happens so low. It's low, low, low. Think about it being the foundation of your house has a crack in it that needs to be fixed. There's nothing that can really help other than doing something to mitigate that crack. And that's essentially what's going on here is the chip, the thing that is the brain of the computer has a problem. And as you mentioned earlier when we were talking about it, it's all of these things that are these patches that are coming out, they're putting Band-Aids on it. They're not fixing the root problem.
Yeah, because it's a hardware issue, which means either new hardware has to come out or there has to be firmware that comes out. And for those of you that have not had experience updating firmware, I would advise you to let somebody that really knows what they're doing do it. It's a lot easier than it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
You know, back in the day, I know you remember this, Donna, but we would do firmware updates like on motherboards, and you would cringe as you watched the progress bar move because you knew if anything happened, you know, you pressed a key or the power went out. If anything happened, that computer was toast. You had to, trash, throw it away.
You had a doorstop.
Big old newspaper weight.
And those were when they were super expensive too, you know, that it was $2,000 or $3,000 for a basic computer in a lot of cases. So.
Yeah. And nowadays it's kind of taken for granted, but I remember that was awful whenever firmware would come out and you're like, oh my gosh, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, it just created so much stress. So the good news is it's easier to do now, but it's also not something you can do automatically or that you can just do that Windows takes care of for you or your operating systems or any of the other stuff. This is something down at the vendor who builds the computer level.
Yeah.
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 So it's awesome, right?
Mm-hmm. And for those of you who are saying, well, I have a Mac or I've got Linux or whatever, doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. They're all running chips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's even things that don't use those operating systems because it's at a hardware level. So medical devices and, you know, I mean, like Donna said, anything that has a memory chip or CPU chip in it, I mean, you have that problem.
Yeah. So we're all in a mess together. Yay. We're all in this together.
Yeah.
No, not exciting. But here's how you solve the problem for you in your office.
So let me throw something else out there. I want to mention this because it gets overlooked. It also affects cloud computing.
Yes, you're right.
So if you've got a cloud server or cloud desktops or maybe you have a website, all those things are things happening in the cloud. So it also affects those. So you probably need to either go to your vendor's website or reach out to them and make sure they're doing something. I mean, our websites went down last night for a couple of hours, I'm sure, to patch issues. So there's a likelihood you could have some disruption in service over the next few days or weeks.
Yeah.
So just be aware of that. If you got things in the cloud, you have to look at that as well.
Well, and you know, a lot of people do say, well, I don't have to worry about anything. My server's at a data center. Still a problem.
But at least you got somebody else working on it.
Well, yeah, but you know, it's like a lot of people use a data center, but they put their server in the data center, so they're not necessarily getting cloud services. So someone may physically have to do something and you got to get their help. But the level of this kind of stuff, this is why we get into, if this vulnerability is that low and you can do all of this damage by, mm-hmm. you know, my little program can sit there and listen to what your programs are doing the rest of the day, every day. So it bears that theory out that says, oh, we don't have to worry about data center people being business associates. We don't have to worry about our cloud providers being business associates. Well, if they don't do this properly, guess what? Now you've got a bigger problem. So you've got to have things in place that, A, force that confidentiality, integrity, and availability requirements. You know, because it could impact the integrity, the confidentiality, and the availability.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got to make sure that these things are done right. And even OCR is coming out, you know, HHS and OCR, and they came out with a statement about it yesterday, which is what prompted us to say, okay, we got to do it now. The Healthcare Cybersecurity and Communications Integration Center and coordinated with the HHS Computer Security Incident Response Center.
Goodness.
Yeah, I know. They came out and, you know, said, everybody needs to worry about this. Everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So they recommend that healthcare and public health entities consider, I always love this about HIPAA, you know, it's nothing is a requirement. Everything is could or should or consider. That should say, better do it.
Yeah,
or will or must install operating system patches to Macs, Linux, and Microsoft systems in order to mitigate the risk of this widespread processor vulnerability. So there you go. So, David, how are you going to, what do you think you're going to do to patch these?
Well, here's the kind of the kicker is that the patch can interfere with certain antivirus programs. And if it does, you get what's called the blue screen of death.
A B-sod.
If that happens, it's unclear. Maybe you have read something, but it's unclear as to how bad that is. Is it fixable or has it?
It's a registry key thing that you can do to get around it, I think. Okay. You turn off your AV and then use, of course, Windows Defender and Security Essentials. It's what you're supposed to use to get through the installation until your antivirus vendor has allowed the updates to occur. So you got those two layers. You can't just start installing the patch. You got to make sure your antivirus is prepared for the patch and you have a plan to plan that antivirus update before the, yeah. See, so, we're in a loop.
I know. So what we're going to do, and this is where the rub is for us, is that we have to test the patches thoroughly before we push them out. Fortunately, because all of our clients are on the same antivirus and same all this other stuff, it makes it easier because once we've identified that it works well, you know, with several, then pushing it out to the rest of them should be okay. But we go through a lot of work to, you know, extensively make sure that we whitelist what needs to be whitelisted after it's being thoroughly tested. So if you don't have an IT vendor that's doing that, or you're trying to handle this yourself, I would do one machine first and maybe one machine at a time. Don't run around just clicking updates on everything. You might want to turn off automatic updates for Windows.
Yeah. Well, now Windows 10 apparently has been patched a while back. That's good. I, as far as I know, if Windows 10 is up to date, you should be fine. But how many of them we already learned with WannaCry? That's not the case. And here we go again with the ones that are off support, Windows XP and, you know, all the different server versions that people 2003. So, you know, you got a lot to worry about here. And you're right. I mean, this is exactly why we say you need professional IT support if you're going to protect your business. And all the people who say they don't need it, that they'll take care of it, they're going to be busy because I got an email that said from somebody that said, I want to respond to your question, but I'm not going to be able to do that until after we finish doing Meltdown Inspector updates and the mitigation plan. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be busy, and everybody knows it. Uh-huh. So if you got five computers, you're going to be busy because you do have to make sure. And guess what? If you've probably got five computers and no professional IT support, they're not the same. But it's one of those things that's part of your risk management plan is to manage these things on your own. You can't just put it off. You've got to make sure somebody's taking responsibility for doing this and they do it properly because, you know, it could bring you down. And it's one of those things you can't wait to do. Get those updates in there. The vendors have released them, which is why we say patch, baby, patch. All that drill, baby, drill. We're going to do patch, baby, patch. Got people fired up. Maybe we can.
I think we can. The other thing, too, about the patching part is, you know, make sure you don't start out with what's considered high-value systems or
critical.
You know, if they handle PHI or PII or whatever, put those off. I mean, start with the system that is least important in your organization and move your way up.
Yeah, carefully. So yeah, I'm we got your Mac OS, your iOS, even Apple TV. If you use Apple TV devices, a lot of folks use those for AirPlay. So
Alexa.
And you got to check if you have an old Android device, you've got to find out if the version of Android you have even has an update for it. Mm-hmm. So make sure you do that. And, you know, it's another thing of the older the computer, the worse it is on making sure you get it done. But that patch management thing, as we mentioned earlier, this is a Band-Aid. There's still going to need to be firmware updates to fix these things eventually. And you know the bad guys are going to find a way around it.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully these things will take care of it. But it means getting up to date on all of your operating systems. No matter what it is, you need to be up to date on it. That's the bottom line.
Yep. That is the bottom line. So what are some things that people need to make sure they patch?
Yeah, so patch management, we mention it all the time how important it is. And having a patch management program means that somebody on a regular basis is making sure that the desktops and laptops, those things obviously, your servers, your tablets, your smartphones, but also your Wi-Fi access points, your firewalls and UTMs, the things that are your border security, your moat. But those things also have to have updates and software patches. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if your firewall hasn't been updated, and I know you and I find them, you go in and it's a client and they say, yeah, we've got a firewall, we got all this. And you go look and the thing hasn't been updated in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really, you know, it'd be like an antivirus program not updated in 4 years or an operating system. It's there. What?
Seen those two. We've got antivirus and you look at it, it's like, you know, expired in 2012. And I'm like,
yeah. Yeah, that's not an antivirus, yeah. So it's not just, I got my Windows updates turned on automatic. It's more than that. And it's not just, I'm going to check it once a year. We recommend, you know, quarterly at a minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And when we say, you know, you go in and you look at those network devices and make sure they're up to date. We just talked about that, what was it, the Blueborn?
Mm-hmm.
And another Wi-Fi one. Because it takes so long to get those things updated properly, it's years. So there's a concern that this one will be the same thing.
Yeah.
What else should we patch, David? Anything else? Oh, well, like the Apple TV device. So
I was going to say, if it plugs in and connects to the internet, then you need to look at it.
Yeah. Yeah, you need to be worrying about it because somehow these kind of things will happen and continue to happen. And sometimes you need to make sure that desktops and laptops and servers get firmware updates. And those are big deals. So, yeah.
Well, they're not as, you know, like for patching, you can set it automatic. And so it's a lot easier. A lot of the firmware stuff, you really have to do it one machine at a time. And right. It's not something I would, you know, I would not go through your organization and just start updating the firewalls and UTMs and all the servers and desktops all at once because you could have a plan. Mess. Yeah, start with one and move up, like I said earlier. But last thing you want is a massive outage because some of your things weren't ready to be patched or something.
Yeah, you need to be very careful planning to make sure and... we call it the I got a guy, you know, somebody that comes in and does your computers on the side. They're not going to have time to do that. And they come in and try to do them all and then leave you because it looked like they were okay. Be aware, which is why we say patch management needs to be something. You should have it documented that you're doing it. You should have it documented that somebody's checking it. You should discuss it with your tech staff on a regular basis, like, I don't know, quarterly. And if you're the tech people, so like David's talking about they're doing and communicating it to their clients, here's our plan. You should be doing that proactively in your organization, whether you're, you know, an IT department or an MSP like David, that you make that plan and communicate it clearly to your clients or the leadership. Here's where we're vulnerable. Here's the plan that we have to take care of it. This is going to divert our resources to address this and make everybody aware.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is not something that you want to play around with, because if you know, they do find this stuff and then you end up with some major malware attack that hits and suddenly... it will become glaringly obvious who hasn't patched. Just like WannaCry made it glaringly obvious who didn't have those patches and who still had XP computers.
Yeah. And yet they're still out there.
Yeah, they're still out there. It's torturous.
It's because people have the "it won't happen to me" syndrome.
Yeah. That's the painful thing for us is the "won't happen to me" syndrome. Those people, after it happens to them, it's brutal on us to recover, you know. Mm-hmm. Number one, they've done this to themselves and their business. But number two is now they are freaking out and want everybody else to, you know, drop everything and make this better. And it's not that easy to do. So if you're going to live on those, if you consider risking it, something you're willing to do, you need to also keep in mind that getting somebody to fix this quickly is something you're also risking, because don't turn around and you pay three times what it would cost. That might work. You might get David's attention then. You know, it's not like everybody just sits around waiting on you to fail when you elect to not protect yourself.
Mm-hmm. This is true.
True that is.
Yeah. Try not to use any examples. Oh, boy. So lots of stuff here to consider for sure. But, I mean, do you want me to give them the technical breakdown of what it is?
Go right ahead. Oh, no. Go right ahead. Let's live on the edge, people.
I have to see if I can find it again. I got like 15 tabs open with all this stuff in it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's interesting. We'll put it in the show notes if you want to see the actual schematic, the flow chart of what is that happening. It's pretty interesting to look at, because even Donna and I look at that and go, okay, yeah, we're not going to touch that.
The good news is this is stuff that comes out the researchers are finding it, not because it was used against us. You know,
yeah,
it's the Google Project Zero, where they're out there trying to find these things. Those guys were involved, and a lot of other people. And there's the academic research papers that you can read, but I'm not going to touch them. But we'll include some of that too. So
yeah, we know all we need to know. Just give us the short PDF version. That's what people say anyway, right? I don't care. Just fix it.
Yeah, just fix it. I don't care. Just fix it. But it is important to know. You don't need to understand. This is like all of the others. You don't necessarily need to understand the details behind what happens. Very generically, programs that are minding their own business could suddenly have a spy in them and nothing else, you know, and there's nothing you can do to prevent it if you don't have these patches. So that's enough to remember about it. And then the important thing to know is I need to make sure somebody's handling this for me and they truly understand what they're doing. They're not just fly by night, because this could blow up in your face if you're not careful. So there you go. That's what you need to know.
Well, another thing probably good to mention is, you know, this is a good time to test, make sure your backups are there and working. I mean, part of the problem is that doing these types of patching, if done incorrectly, you run the risk of a system going down, and whether or not it's recoverable or not, I don't know yet, but you should always have backups. You should always have tested your backups to ensure you can recover from them, so that if something does happen, you know, you have recourse.
All right. Well, there we go. We've done enough nerdiness for now, I guess.
Yes, we have. All right. Good. So that is our show for today, folks. Hope you enjoyed it. Make sure you go out and review us, because we need it, and other people need it. I mean, look at all this fantastic information you got today. So now that you're scared to death and everybody's running around, this guy is falling. So anyway, don't forget about the HIPAA Bootcamp. If you're interested, send us an email, contact@helpmewithhipaa.com. Get some more information. And also for those of you who are supporting the podcast, thank you so very much. And you can, if you're interested in that, go to helpmewithhipaa.com/give. So for Donna and myself, remember that HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.